Hey, everybody, Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess, just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May, and you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com, then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in "Do Go On The Quiz Show" and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnocky, and as always, I'm here with Jess Perkins and Matt Stewart.
Hello, everybody. My name is Dave.
Oh, that's how I should have started it. Go again.
I've been saying that literally for years, and you've never started it the way I've suggested it.
Well, let me start it again.
Thank you.
Everybody. My name is Dave. I'm here with Jess and Matt and my best friend Ray. Hello, Ray. That's you, Matt.
Hello.
Hello.
Great to be here with Jess, Matt and Ray. And can I ask, not Ray, not Matt, but Jess, how the hell does this show work?
Oh, that is bullshit and unfair. Just because before we started recording, Matt reminded you that he had to explain it last week. And so now you're like, oh, keep it fair. look, I'll tell you how this works, only because I'm a professional. What we do here at Do Go On headquarters is we take it in turns, going away, we fuck right off, we go to our own homes, we research a topic usually suggested by a listener, we bring that research back to the other two who politely listen slash interrupt slash riff slash make some jokes, and throughout the process we live, we laugh, we learn, and we usually get onto topic with a question.
Absolutely beautiful words there, Jess. Thank you. And my question for both of you is, what product was marketed with the tagline...
Margarine.
Sally's No More Gaps.
Two great inventions. I'll give you that.
Interchangeable as well. That's the beauty of those two.
Great
margarine
on toast.
Will fill gaps.
Sally's is a beautiful spread.
Well, you've both had an answer, so you get to come back in. What product was marketed with the tagline, the real live... fun pets you grow yourself.
Sea monkeys.
It is sea monkeys.
Fuck. Well done.
How could you possibly have a topic about sea monkeys?
Well, that is the thing. It is quite a story.
Really?
Surprisingly so. Yes.
I see, it feels like the kind of thing I only know from The Simpsons or something like that.
Have you guys ever had sea monkeys?
No, I don't know what they are.
I've had them.
That's what stood out to me in the hat. Yes, I got the Sea Monkeys show bag when I was in maybe prep or grade one. Bring back the
Did
show
bag. Did you have
bag.
Sea Monkeys fever?
Yeah.
Yes, I also definitely had them at an age-appropriate time and not in my late teens.
Did you also get the show bag?
Nah, I think I purposefully sought out Sea Monkeys.
Oh, and how'd you go? Did you grow them?
I think I got bored.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Did you flush them?
I think they probably got flushed, yeah. I don't really remember, but I remember sort of being like, ah, oh, these are a bit weird looking, aren't they? And I flushed them.
Right.
But, I wish them well, wherever they are now.
Yeah, yeah.
So are they like, I mean, Dave's probably going to explain this, but I'm picturing small aquatic monkeys.
Yes.
Yeah, you've absolutely nailed it. Yeah, they exactly. are small aquatic monkeys.
Well, what you've stumbled on there, Matt, is exactly what they want you to imagine.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good marketing.
But honestly, it is incredible marketing, which we will get to. And surprisingly, this topic has been suggested by multiple people. So I'd like to shout out to Bernard, Antonio, Vera, McCaffrey, what a name, from Bristol, Megan Power from Sydney.
That was all one.
That is one person. Bernard Antonio Vera McCaffrey.
Oh, my goodness. That is a fantastic name.
Wow.
I was wondering why you both didn't react to it. I'm like, that is one of the best we've ever had. You gave him nothing.
That is a Hall of Fame
I thought
name.
That was four people.
Yeah, I did too. I thought you were just ripping through names.
I thought none of them had given a surname. These were just first names only. And they were all incredible first names.
Yeah.
So that's one person from Bristol. Also, Megan Power from Sydney.
Also a good name. Look, now I'm going to feel guilty if I don't tell everyone's going to go. That is a great name. Mm-hmm. Megan Power, fantastic.
Incredible.
Julie Bay from Iowa.
Oh, Julie Bay. Yes.
Matt Ridley from Newcastle.
Ah, the Riddler. Love this guy. Love his work. Love his name.
This has become the end of the show where I give bad reactions to people's names. And finally, from Essendon and Hatfield in the United Kingdom, Adam Stamford.
I'll stand for you, Stanford. I'm your stan, man. All right, now we get onto the show from here. Is that right, Dave?
Yeah, that's right. People, fear not. If you're researching sea monkeys and you want the info, here it starts. And it all starts with Harold von Braunhut, who was born in Memphis, Tennessee on March 31st, 1926.
A good year.
Is there anything good about that year? Any AFL-related facts?
1926. That was in the middle of one of the Saints' big premiership droughts. We've had two. One was from 1890. Well, really, from 1873 to 1966. Sorry, and then the other one was from 1967 till today. So yeah, 1926 was right in the heart of the first one.
Well, it's mostly drought, though.
I actually zoned out.
Okay, well, all you need to know, Jess, is there's a guy called Harold von Braunhut. He's from Memphis. His mother's family was in the toy business.
Okay.
His father had a printing shop.
Okay.
And amazingly in his life, he will combine both professions in a way. But he moved to New York City, where he stayed until the 1980s. And to be honest, apart from that, little is known about his career before his discovery of the humble sea monkey.
Oh, discovery. Oh, not even an invention. He discovered them in their natural habitat. Yes. Oh, it's a real King Kong kind of thing, isn't it? He found them. He wanted to take them back to the big city, make a pretty penny off them. Oh, my God, Harold, what's your face? You are a real piece of shit.
He wanted a giant sea monkey to fight a giant ape. Sadly, never got there. But he did dabble in a few outlandish careers. These are a few dot points on his life that we know about him. He worked as a magician called the Amazing Telepo.
Telepo.
Yes.
The Amazing Telepo. Would I buy a ticket to see the Amazing Telepo? Probably.
Yeah, strong yes.
You love magic.
I wouldn't have had much else on.
Well, back in those days, they used to just go and look at the train going past. You know, that was entertainment back then.
Yeah, so if there was a magician in town, I'd be like, yeah, you had me at amazing.
Yeah.
The train platform was deserted that day. He raced motorcycles under the name the Green Hornet.
Oh. That's a cool name. Was that before Marvel or DC or whoever came up with the character the Green Hornet?
That's a DC, I think.
It's hard to say because these things, little is known about it.
Dave, I don't know why you're answering this. I was asking our local superhero expert, Jess Perkins.
AKA She-Hulk herself. I would say it is after.
Right.
And so therefore he is a big old ripoff.
What a dog.
Just another strike against this guy. Personally, so far, I hate him.
And you're right, Jess. The Green Hornet was a fictional character created in 1936 by George W. Trendle and Fran Stryker.
I mean, there is a chance, being born in 1926, that he raced as a 7 or 8 year old. That's under
true.
That name.
That is true.
There is a chance. There is a chance.
He also worked as a TV producer.
That's you, Dave.
Thank you. That's why I really saw myself in this guy. Actually, I shouldn't be saying that, as we'll learn later on. He was an agent.
Hang on. Is my initial instinct about this guy pretty accurate?
We'll find out together.
Sea monkey works as a pretty good euphemism for the sea bomb as well. What a sea monkey this guy is.
What a sea monkey. Yeah.
That's an apt description of this guy. He was also an agent, though. He knows a good idea. He knows a good act for a guy called Henry Lamothe.
That means the moth in French.
He was one of those guys who high-dived from great heights, like 40 feet.
Oh, like a moth would. Why would you call yourself the moth? For a high-diving act, they flutter about. They don't jump into water from a height. Makes no sense.
Doesn't make any sense. This guy's an idiot.
He's one of those guys, though, that jumped really from like 40 feet and then belly flopped into a blow-up kid's pool with like 30 centimetres of water in it.
Yeah, but was there a bright light that he was attracted to?
Yeah, that's
in the pool?
Or balls. Also attracted to balls. Moths.
What do you mean?
Mothballs. Yeah, specifically mothballs.
Not my balls, which I found out the hard way.
Come here.
Come here. Put them on display. Peanut butter?
Please.
You like that? The hard way, Dave.
No, Dave, you got to light them up. Got to put some fairy lights around those bad boys.
What? Fairy lights. Well, I wish I'd thought of that when you said light them up, because that's not what I did. Very painful discovery. Yeah, so he managed a guy who every year would jump in front of the Flatron building in New York City on his birthday and each year decrease the amount of water, continuing until his 70th birthday in 1974.
And he jumped into one single drop of water. He died that day.
The day before when he did two drops, fine. But turns out that second drop was really important. Really softened the blow.
Every man has his limits. This guy, he got a Guinness World Record for his efforts. He died in 1987 at the age of 83. He'd only suffered one high diving injury in his life, according to his wife, Birgit, who said once he hurt his nose.
Hurt his nose, did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway.
Wait, who was that? This isn't the Monkey Man.
This is a guy managed by the Monkey Man because he knows a good idea. He knows good talent when he sees it. But then, in the 1950s and 60s, von Braunhut began the career that would make him his fortune. He became an American mail order marketer, taking out patents on 196 different inventions, gadgets, and toys that he marketed at the back of comic books. That was before it all took a very, very dark turn.
He wasn't the X-ray specs guy, was he?
He is the X-ray is specs really? Guy. I'm serious.
That's amazing.
Before we get to the dark turn, some of the other novelties that he invented over the years and marketed to kids were, number one I've written here, Matt, is X-ray specs.
No kidding.
Incredible.
That's another thing from like The Simpsons, right? Bart had it on the back of his comics. He ended up buying something that maybe even X-ray spec.
Yeah, he sent away and then it was really shit.
Yeah.
Which often I think is what happened to kids. Because the advertisement claimed that the wearer could see through clothing and flesh. The product has appealed to generations of curious adolescent boys, aka pervs. It was marketed as, quote, loads of laughs and fun at parties.
How? How so? What does it do?
Not much.
It doesn't do anything, so how is it fun at parties?
Well, what about this? He had another invention called Crazy Crabs.
Yeah, been there.
Yeah.
They were simply hermit crabs in a cardboard box sent to your house.
Oh, my God.
Just a crab delivery service.
Yep.
Poor crabs.
I know, poor crabs. How about amazing hair-raising monsters? A card with a printed monster that would grow hair, aka mineral crystals, that sprouted when water was added.
Seems like the first one that's something.
Yeah, I guess.
Hypno specs.
Oh, yep.
Which promised to put people under your control.
Yeah.
And he got really patents on all of these things.
Yeah.
They were pretty loose with patents back then, I think.
Because in reality, they were just spinning discs on the front of a pair of glasses.
No, Dave. They would put people under your control.
With your spinning discs. All right, I get it. My favourite of his inventions was invisible goldfish.
That's clever.
Oh, my, that is incredible.
All it was a glass bowl that was empty except having a few plants in it and a sign that said, invisible goldfish, do not feed.
That's very good.
The whole thing came with a printed guarantee that you'd never, ever see them.
That's fun. That's fun. Pretty funny.
Do you have to add water yourself?
Yeah, you have to. It doesn't come with water. BYO water.
How are the fish alive then?
Yes. That is a good call. I'm starting to doubt this guy.
It finally answers Milhouse's question, why to have the bowl, Bart? Why to have the bowl? Invisible goldfish. But his most successful novelty was, of course, sea monkeys. He realised that it was all about having a good idea and then implementing smart marketing to sell that idea. The product, initially called Instant Life and sold for 49 cents a pop.
That sucks.
Yes.
Instant Life.
The bad first draft.
No, that's not going on my Christmas wish list, is it? What do you want for your birthday, little Jesse? I want some Instant Life.
I want instant death. That's your little goth sister.
Kill me. She's a bit full on, honestly. She's a little bit full on.
He was inspired by the success of Uncle Milton's Ant Farm. And Von Braunhut came up with the idea of marketing and mailing Instant Life to kids.
Okay.
According to Mental Floss, in 1957, Von Braunhut walked into a pet store and noticed a bucket filled with brine shrimp. It was meant to be used as fish food, technically called Artemia salina, which is a species of brine shrimp found in salt lakes. Now, the thing about this species of shrimp is that they can exist in a state of suspended animation known technically as cryptobiosis. What happens is they shut down their metabolic processes in the absence of water, basically nature's version of carbonite freezing. And the purpose of this is they can survive in this state for years and years if a lake dries up.
Wow, that's some sweet evolution. Baby.
Yeah, so like, you know, the lake dries up, they just go, they hibernate basically, go into hibernation for years and years until it rains again and then they sprout new life.
Wow.
But when water is reintroduced, the shell hatches and a creature with one eye emerges.
That's cool.
As they mature, they develop a second eye.
Oh, okay.
You happy now? Jess looks disgusted.
That'd be a fun way to grow. Like, you know, if humans went that way, we'd be like, oh, as a teen, his arms are coming in.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, look at our big boy with his arms.
Right, he's growing ears. He's going to start knowing what we were saying all these years. Oi, you got no ears. But we can't, you know, can't bother really saying that anymore.
Yeah, we'll have to go up with new jokes. I guess that's fine, isn't it?
Personally, I'm still waiting for my arms to come in.
Well, we know, buddy. Any day
any
now.
Any day now, this biceps will pump out.
Never skip arm day, Dave.
My legs are huge. So the idea hit Harold, what if he could mail these creatures in their suspended animation to kids who add water at home and then the creatures would come to life before their very eyes? Recalling the flea circuses of his youth where people would willingly believe in talented fleas that obviously didn't exist, Von Braunhut immediately saw a potential for selling the tiny translucent shrimps as instant pets, which could easily be sent through the post without any concern about the animal's welfare.
Hmm.
So that's the idea. But he actually wasn't the first to market an idea like this. A big company called Wham-O, which I love.
Very good.
Sold similar products before this called Instant Fish, but it was a massive dud. They used African killifish, which didn't really come back to life when they should have. So kids got them in the mail and added water and they didn't really come back.
That's a brutal gift. Here's a dead fish.
and just add water and it'll stay dead.
Now you've got a wet dead fish.
Hey, happy birthday.
Just checking. Actually, this little goth sister's list actually included a dead fish for Christmas. So
yeah, she is honestly a concern.
She's stoked.
Yeah, we are worried about her, but it's the happiest we've seen her in months. So
just throwing,
off you go. Play with your dead wet fish.
Throwing a dead wet fish around there.
She's like, yes. That's our little freak.
The instant fish was a dud, but Von Braunhut had a better product. These weren't just any brine shrimp. No, he only works with the best. For example, that man that jumped off a ladder into a bucket.
Yeah, only the best.
Quoting from a great New York Times article by Jack Hitt, that I'll, of course, link in the show notes, he worked with a marine biologist named Anthony D'Agostino and using a process that he flamboyantly called super homogenation, they created a hybrid brine shrimp that could easily survive the United States Postal Service and be more likely to flourish after reanimation.
I like that as a specific thing you have to survive. The US Postal Service doesn't get more brutal than that.
Any other
what do you mean
fine?
I can't ship a dog?
They worked with the brine shrimp species Artemia salina, the one from the bucket. And because they made the breakthrough at Montauk's NYOSL, the New York Ocean Sciences Laboratory, they called their new hybrid Artemia NYOS, N-Y-O-S. They were selectively bred in the early 70s so that they would have this extra long dormant cycle in their egg state, and they would they were able to slowly increase that. So that meant over time they created a super sea monkey.
Super sea monkey.
And the super sea monkey becomes too powerful.
Too self-aware.
Too dormant.
The super sea monkey is like, Father, what am I?
Oh, no.
Oh, God. You're supposed to be something fun I can ship to kids.
What am I picturing? So this is this still krill or whatever it was? What was it? Brill? Brine. No, what was it?
Brine, yeah. They're very small and they grow to a couple of centimetres max.
Yeah.
Which is probably why Jess was disappointed in her 20s. Yeah.
I imagine them more like tiny little seahorses and they don't look like that. Yeah, I guess they're like they're little fairly see-through. Yeah, they're very small. Yeah, they just kind of scoot around.
How did he get to monkeys?
Ah, that's all in the marketing, Matthew. Because he's got the product. What about the marketing? Well,
it's all in the marketing, my good
he's
man.
He's got a great product. That's what he said. First, you've got to get a great product. Which is?
Well, he's got a product that will survive in the mail. All right, I can give that to kids. Now I've just got to get them to want this piece of shit.
Now I've got to market the shit out of it.
Unlike the toy companies that were selling in toy shops, he decided to market directly to children, taking out ads in the back of comic books. He would later say, quote, I did 303 million pages of advertising a year.
Of advertising?
Advertising a year.
Wow. Advertising and advertising. Far out. This guy covers all bases, yeah.
This was much cheaper than the expensive TV commercials that the larger toy companies at the time were making. All people had to do was send the money to the address in the comic book ad and their instant life would arrive in the mail. What kids would get in the mail was two sachets.
That's where fun always comes from, sachets.
Kids are always very excited when something that looks like a KFC refresher towelette arrives in the mail. One was the so-called nutrient pack. The other was the eggs. The instructions stated that they should first put the nutrients in the tank of water, should add, and then 24 hours later, then add in the eggs.
As in not a military tank. Is that what you...
I have to stress, do not put the nutrients in a military tank.
That is how we will lose our civilization. Yeah. These things are already self-aware and they've given them a weapon.
This is where super soldiers began.
So you put the nutrients in first. That's interesting.
Yes. Now,
is it?
There's a reason for that, Jess.
Okay.
The first packet, which is called the nutrients, he said that they won't live without this. The first packet actually had a few eggs in it and the second had more eggs but then also dye in it. And that made the first eggs that hatched suddenly more visible, so you add the eggs in and it looks like it instantly comes to life, but really for 24 hours it's been quietly bubbling away.
Oh.
But you only see it because he's added dye to the water.
Sneaky.
Sneaky. So you feel like a god because it's coming to life before your very eyes, but really they've been hatching over the last 24 hours. Very clever.
And so then you're adding eggs. You're adding more eggs, so then more will
Yeah, that's
hatch.
Right. Over the next couple of days you'll have heaps more, but you'll get a few at first to capture your imagination.
Instant gratification because kids and teenage Jess don't have, an adult Jess, don't have a lot of patience for these things. So if it's not happening immediately, it's like, well, I hate this thing.
Throw away the tank.
I hate this pet. It's dumb.
Where would these little guys normally be existing, Dave? Are they confused when they come to and they're in a kid's bedroom?
What level of consciousness do they have, Dave?
Rather than in a lake?
Yeah. What's going on here? Why am I dyed a certain colour?
Hang on a second. When I fell asleep, I was in New York and now I'm in Washington. What's going on?
Yeah.
In 1964, von Braunhut changed the name from Instant Life to Sea Monkeys, calling them that because, according to him, they have a tail that looks like it could belong to a monkey.
Okay.
It could. Hey, it could. That tail looks like it could belong to a monkey. So.
Not in the way that that monkey could have that kind of tail. They might just buy a tail like that and then own that kind of tail.
Yeah. It could. If the monkey worked really hard and saved up its money and went to the tail shop and bought a tail that looked like that, okay? There's a world in which a monkey could have a tail that looks like that. So
one of his 196 patents was a fake monkey tail that you could send away for.
Wait, now, is that true?
That is not true, but it could
it be. Could
be
true.
It could be, though, couldn't it?
That
could
well honestly, be. That would be one of his better ones.
Now, I just want to check in briefly with our resident amateur primatologist, Matt Stewart. How do you feel about him calling a monkey?
Well, I don't like throwing around the O word, but I am offended.
I was like, what is the O?
I am having an orgasm.
Unrelated to what Dave is asking me. If everyone could just give me 5 to 10 minutes.
Honestly, on Primates, we did get pretty loose with the definition. We did a whole episode about the Mandalorian in Star Wars because briefly there was an alien character that was called I can't even remember, a monkey lizard or something. And it was like a puppet. And we said, that's enough. But I think even I draw the line. At these sea monkeys, they're an abomination.
I am offended.
Yeah, no, Dave, is that what you're expecting?
Yeah, honestly, I thought you were going to flip.
I am furious. Have you ever seen me this mad before?
No.
Well,
I'm scared.
Me too.
It's okay, Matt. It's all right. It's okay. Hey.
Kids deserve better.
Hey. Monkeys deserve better.
Whatever these little bacteria things are, deserve better.
Yeah.
Well, so he's changed the name, Sea Monkeys. He had comic book illustrator and future vice president of DC Comics.
Okay. I thought it was going to be future vice president of America.
Future vice president Al Gore.
Just web up a little doodle for you.
Future vice president of DC Comics, a guy called Joe Orlando, draw up some illustrations of sea monkey characters that helped bring the fantasy to life.
Joe Orlando.
Mm.
Great name.
Fantastic name.
Very cool.
Joe Orlando.
Yeah, that's not real.
Fucking hell, that's
not
good.
Real.
That is so good. Not real.
That can't be real. No one's born into such a good name. It would be unfair.
Yeah. I'd call him Joe Lando.
Sounds like the quarterback at a very, very successful high school football team.
Oh, yeah. And then he gets a college scholarship and he gets, you know, first round draft into the NRL. And
NRL. He switches codes.
Yeah, he switches codes.
Starts playing rugby.
That's how talented he is. He can play a completely different game.
He's actually very talented.
I was expecting that story just stayed positive. I thought you were going to say he did his knee, but
no, I was just going to say he was going to be like on an incredible contract, millions of dollars.
Yeah, now he's retired. He's part time coaching the national squad as well as doing special comments for ESPN.
but also just a really good dad.
Great guy.
And a great, great
he
drawer.
Retired and he's still obviously a big in the community and obviously still involved in the sport because he loves it. It's his passion. But number one, family.
Yeah. And he put
very hands-on dad, does the school drop-off.
He started playing golf because his son was keen, and then yeah. he ended up becoming a great golfer as well. Just everything he touches turns to gold.
Just has a good attitude yeah. about it as well, you know. It just a real sort of very grateful for the life that he has and doesn't take it for granted, really down to earth. And, yeah, like his sons do ballet, and so he was like, I'm going to do ballet too because, like, fuck gender norms, you know what? And that's
and
beautiful.
And now you can curtsy love that like a lot. Nothing else.
Oh, my God.
Is the curtsy the one where they spin around? No.
I mean, that, no, but it's unrelated. Perrier. But he can pirouette.
And he does that, and he's all amazingly, something Jess and I haven't mentioned, incredibly beautiful, but it's not the first thing you notice because he has such a beautiful energy.
Yes, his warmth.
Yeah.
You might not notice because he's constantly pirouetting, so you don't quite get a good look of his face.
Yeah. And curtsying.
And he's not like, you wouldn't hear any of this from him.
No, certainly not.
You know, you meet him and you're like, oh, my God, that's Joe Orlando. And all he wants to talk about is you. He just wants to hear all about your interests, your family. He doesn't even really talk straight away about, like, what you do for work because he knows what we're all so much more than our job titles.
You aren't what you do.
And that's what's so cool about him. You aren't what you do.
It's one of his catchphrases.
He's really something else. Anyway.
Dave, what were you talking about?
We love Joe Orlando.
We love Joe Orlando.
The 11th or 12th most impressive thing he did was, of course, do the original drawings for the sea monkeys. But
that's right.
He won't tell you that.
In his spare time, he's a very good artist, but he's more into cooking. He loves Italian as his specialty, but he can do almost anything. But a very good artist as well, yeah.
So what he drew was they've been described as humanoid.
And he's a great husband, so... To his husband. Boom. Incredible.
What a guy.
Boom.
What a guy.
we were all meant to do double takes there. Oh, what?
Yeah.
Boom.
Boom.
The real magician, hey? The amazing Perko.
Boom. Sorry, Dave, do go on.
They've been described as humanoid animals that bear no resemblance to the actual crustaceans and drawn in a 1950s style.
Yeah, they look like aliens.
They still have this sort of image that if you go and buy sea monkeys now, which you still can, you still can get them. There was a disclaimer that said, caricatures shown not intended to depict Artemia Salina. But believe it or not, kids often didn't read that fine print.
So interesting. The kids wouldn't necessarily read that. It's fascinating.
Oh, wow. I'm just looking at a picture of them. They look like sort of like skeleton aliens.
Yeah.
Skeleton aliens, you know, those things. I was trying to find the cartoon version. Oh, yeah, I see. Yeah, right. Yeah, they don't look like that.
No, sadly not. But in the marketing and packaging, he took some more liberties with what kids who bought the product could expect. The marketing said, anyone who enjoys the company of pets will adore sea monkeys. They're great company.
Yeah, they're sort of like a cat, they'll rub up against your leg. Like a dog, they'll play fetch. Like a horse, you can ride them. Whatever you like.
Well, he wrote a 32-page handbook that is still included in most sea monkey kits to this day, which states that the creatures can be hypnotized, play baseball.
If you have the right glasses, they can be hypnotized. Yeah.
They respond to commands, race on a speedway, and can even rise from the dead.
Wow.
This is a quote from that handbook. Without a doubt, here is the true case of science fiction becoming science fact. Newly hatched sea monkeys are no larger than the period at the end of this sentence. Full stop. As they mature, they will not only change their shape and appearance, they will grow incredibly large, larger than their size at their moment of birth. By comparison, if human babies grew so many times as large, you might be 200 feet or 60 metres tall.
Whoa, think about that. Did, how big was the full stop at the end of that sentence, Dave?
Yeah, was it a particularly big one? Or?
Well, I'm writing an 18-point, but...
that's pretty big.
It also says, it seems that at mating time in the animal kingdom, the male engages in combat to win the fin, paw, flipper, hoof, wing, or what have you of their lady love.
Can't believe they got lazy at the end there. Name all of them.
Or whatever. Or whatever. Or whatever. That's more the tone, yeah. I think. It starts fun, and then it's like, oh, whatever.
Come on, move on.
Fuck, what do you want from me? Shut up.
I love, so that's all the stuff it's claiming. And then to quote from the Sydney Morning Herald, which is reviewing the product, the biggest Artemia Nios ever grows is 2 millimetres, and the most interesting thing it does is follow a beam of light up and down its tank. Mostly, it does nothing.
Mm. Wait, didn't they say they could drive speedboats and do a flip and...
Play baseball
and make you lots of money?
Huh?
Can't you train them to be financial investors for you?
That's right. They're mining Bitcoin in the tank.
Trying to get my dog to to be my financial advisor.
I think they're just waiting to die. Instant life. Craving inevitable death.
Kill me. but the outlandish marketing worked, and pretty soon he was getting 5 sacks full of mail a day, each of people sending in letters asking and paying $1 a piece for their sea monkey orders. So he started making a pretty penny straight away. And he was able to make even more money with extra products like vitamins, mating powder that was supposed to encourage the sea monkeys to get freaky in the tank.
Why would you sell that to children? And the horny thing, goat weed for kids?
The thing is that... the way their reproductive systems work, the female of the species doesn't even need the male to create.
So you no, don't no, even... no. I tell you what, it doesn't need the male, but it does need this powder. As a woman, Dave, I think I know what a lady needs to reproduce.
I think I know a little thing or two about powder.
Marco, don't tell me about powder.
Sorry to powder-splain you there. Apologize. You could buy banana treats, sea gems for the sea monkeys to play with in the tank.
To play with.
Yeah.
They don't have hands.
They've got one, possibly two.
I know
eyes.
You don't have to have hands to play. I know that. But what are you supposed to do with these gems? What are they supposed to do with them?
Who knows? It's all bullshit.
What are you supposed to do? Watch them play catch.
Oh,
with
wow.
What?
I even saw these in the 90s, a wristwatch that was a portable tank so you could take a few sea monkeys with
Whoa.
You.
Whoa.
That's fucking bonkers.
So it's like I think you could take a couple for up to like, you know, 24 or 48 hours and then you had to put them back in the tank. But you could... You know, take them on this tiny little dome of water on your wrist.
That's so stupid.
Well,
it's really dumb.
There was also Sea Monkeys Space Kit, Sea Monkeys Ski Trials, Sea Monkeys Fox Hunt, and the Sea Monkeys Mystery Robo Diver. I don't know what that is.
What? What's a fox hunt?
I actually saw the 70s toy commercial for that one. It's like you put sea monkeys on one half of what looks like an obstacle course but of water, like it's like a little river that sort of darts across a little half table-sized field, and then you put them on one side and then you try and race them to the other side. It's so,
oh, my God. Like, I mean, we did some lame shit to entertain ourselves, but... That just seems sad.
All of a sudden, I'm wishing I was going to watch the train go past.
Yeah. I think I want to, you know, pile the family into a car and go check out a train.
I don't know how he got away with this. Like how it was.
Matt.
It feels like some level of false advertising is going on here.
Matt, you could get a watch.
Yes.
To put a couple of them in so you could take them around places.
Oh, yeah.
Not that they could see anything or knew that you were taking them somewhere new, It's just so you could wear your sea monkeys on your wrist.
Amazingly, this idea made him incredibly rich. He became a multimillionaire off the back of this idea.
Wow.
At a dollar a pop.
At the height of the craze, yeah, he was selling millions a year.
Wow.
He married twice and met his second wife, Yolanda Signorelli.
A sea monkey. They can do anything. You can marry him.
It's good enough for me. It's good enough for your kid.
He's like, on the wedding night, he got out some of that mating powder and he said, come here, honey.
Come here.
Took her out of her little dome.
he put on the portable sea monkey's underpants. Little tank.
Oh.
And then he took him off again.
he met this is Yolanda, his second wife, when she happened to be in the audience for a taping of a television program he was producing for the magician Joseph Dunninger. She was an actress and starred in many racy 1960s bondage films.
What's a bondage film?
They're quite sexy at the time, but by modern day standards, they're very soft core movies.
They're not that sexy anymore.
Dave, is that by modern day standards or Dave Warnicki standards?
That's from the New York Times, who interviewed her, and she said, at the time they were very racy, but by modern standards, I don't think anyone would bat an eye on them. But at the time they're considered bondage films.
So she'd show a bit of shoulder.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, geez Louise.
Put it away.
Put him away.
Put them away. The shoulders, the collarbones, put them away.
Ooh. I'm not married to that woman. I shouldn't be saying, Matt, put your collarbone away. Good heavens.
Oh, my God.
Put away those clavicles.
Showing a little bit of bone. In a different universe where that's sexy and someone's just had a bad motorbike accident.
The
thigh bone sticking out. Ooh, hello. Oh, hello, my mister.
Gosh. Put it away. You get the paramedics / sensor out, put it away.
I'm in a lot of pain, but I feel my self-esteem's gone through the roof.
I'm in so much pain. I'm also real horny.
So she's in many movies. I enjoy the titles of them. So these movies were called Venus in Furs, All Women Are Bad.
True.
Death of a Nymphette. Cool It, Baby.
Great advice.
And finally, Assignment, : Female.
All right. Now, is that the symbol : or the word :
Yeah. No, we got a symbol here.
Okay.
Good to check. Very good to check. All Women Are Bad is obviously my favourite. Matt, you probably have an issue with that.
Yeah, well, honestly, it's probably true, but I don't think you can make sweeping statements like that. As a feminist, I think that's wrong.
Yeah.
I think all women probably are bad, but I haven't met all of them. So well, let me just say
to you, cool it, baby.
Yeah.
I've also read that Yolanda claimed her mother was one of the inspirations for Lois Lane. So
okay. What
a claim.
I don't know if you'd want to be... Lois is a bit of a fucking idiot, isn't she?
Because of the glasses thing.
Yes. But that, she doesn't recognise
the whole of Metropolis is also pretty silly.
Yeah, that's true.
Or, is that the right city?
Yes.
On fire today.
Killing it.
You are killing it today. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you so much.
And I look cute, so we're just having a great day.
She's in these movies, but she didn't really like showbiz and the attention and acting, all that sort of stuff. So she was attracted to Von Braunhut and his success and his idea for the sea monkeys. And
He's cash.
Well, she went to work with him at first and later on they married.
Sure. Yeah. She was like, oh, I don't like showbiz, but he's got money.
No, he's got sea monkeys.
He's got sea monkeys.
He's got hundreds of millions of eggs.
What? I don't like eggs.
That's so yuck, isn't it?
Hate eggs.
Von Braunhut himself continued to invent and sea monkeys continued to capture the minds of generation after generation. So they were massive at the start and then, you know, even when I was in the 90s, I was like, oh, sea monkey show bag, I've got to get this.
Mm.
In 1992, actor and future Deal or No Deal host Howie Mandel created a live-action TV show based on the franchise called The Amazing Live Sea Monkeys.
Howie Mandel. I know that name. He's a, like an 80s stand-up.
Yeah, he's a comedian as well, that's right. He's very famous as a host in the US.
Yeah, you'll know his face for sure, yeah.
Yeah, I did. I saw a clip of him on Carson a while back because he was on a podcast talking about it. Yeah, I had no idea. I knew his face because I think he's one of those big American celebrities that isn't really famous outside of America.
Yeah.
Or at least not in Australia. I'm extrapolating there a bit. But he, he was kind of like just a loose unit, oddball comedian in the 80s, prop comic sort of thing. But it was apparently it was massive, like selling out Madison Square Garden and stuff.
Oh, damn.
Did you see the show at all in the 90s? Apparently, Matt, it aired in the US and Australia. So it was 92.
Right. What was it called?
The Amazing Live Sea Monkeys. Let me tell you about it. He got the idea for the show after his daughter wanted to get some brine shrimp pets known as sea monkeys, which he'd also had as a child. And he thought, great, I've got an idea here. The plot revolved around the notion that the professor in the show had accidentally enlarged three sea monkeys to human size.
Uh-oh.
CBS said it was one of the most expensive kids' shows to ever air on Saturday mornings.
Shit.
He was pumped about the idea, this is Mandel, and at the time said, this could be bigger than the Ninja Turtles.
Oh, no.
It lasted 11 episodes. There's clips on YouTube. It looks extremely wacky.
Yeah, well, that sounds like his kind of style. I'm just looking at that photo rings a bell, that press shot. It rings a vague bell, but, yeah, I never saw it, but that is wild.
In 1998, astronaut John Glenn took 400 million sea monkeys' eggs into space with him. They were exposed to space's many different elements and then taken back, stuff that would definitely kill us, and then taken back to Earth. The eggs were hatched after returning from space, and they were fine, so they can survive in space.
Right.
Wow.
The future of civilization is sea monkeys, I'm telling you.
Oh, I don't like that, and I don't like eggs. Keep saying eggs.
Eggs. Michael Bindbaum's Empire Pictures bought the film rights to sea monkeys in 2006, hoping to develop an animated movie, but it's yet to be made, but I'm hanging out for it.
Any day.
So back to Von Braunhut, though. He kept inventing, but not always whimsical things like sea monkeys and X-ray specs.
He got into guns.
Not far off, Jess.
Well, no.
He also invented a weapon called the Kyoga Agent M5, which is a pen-sized, coil-springed weapon that unfurled a metal whip at the flick of a wrist.
What?
And it's marketed as, quote, if you need a gun but can't get a license.
Oh, God. Because they're pretty tight with licenses, so.
Yeah. It's pen size, but it uncoils to like a whip.
Yeah.
That's fucked.
So it's a pretty nasty little thing. It was used by Burt Reynolds in the 1981 film Sharky's Machine, which sadly I have not seen.
Wow.
What was it called?
Sharky's Machine. Apparently it was a flop.
And the weapon?
The Kyoga.
Kyoga. Kyoga's fun to say. But as a concept, I don't love it.
Oh, yeah, I see. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Like a baton sort of thing.
Yeah, it flicks out from a very small size. You can take it anywhere. According to Mental Floss in 1979, Von Braunhut was actually arrested for bringing this type of weapon through LaGuardia Airport.
I was just thinking about airports. I was like...
Okay.
Specifically with this pen weapon. I wasn't just randomly thinking about airports. I'm not nostalgic. Well, I'm a little nostalgic for airports. But no, I was just thinking, like, if it just looks like a pen, bloody hell, that makes it hard for the airport security, you know?
And you're right, because he was arrested for it, though the charges of possessing an illegal weapon were dismissed when prosecutors realised it was too new and too strange to fall under any relevant legislation.
I got the old strange loophole.
Never even what the fuck is that? Keep going, whatever.
Wow.
What they should get for security at airports are some sort of X-ray specs where they can sort of see through things.
You know what?
And, yeah.
For their interrogation, if they are asking someone, like, if they have anything on them and they don't really believe that that person's being truthful, they should get hypno specs.
Oh, yes.
And make them tell the truth.
Imagine when they're interviewing him, he just keeps putting on different sets of sunglasses. You are going to release me now.
We are going to release you now.
Fantastic.
How does he keep slipping through our fingers?
He also knows what type of underwear all the cops are wearing.
He's not wearing any at all.
Now, if going from sea monkeys to a weapon that stood in for a gun seems like a bit of a dark turn, well, that weapon soon revealed something about its creator that was even darker.
Ooh.
In the late 1980s, a man named Richard Butler was head of the Aryan Nations, which at the time was the United States' most dangerous white supremacist group.
Dick Butler, you say?
Dick Butler. Or Dick Makes Butt.
Dick Butt.
He was, this is Richard Butler, was facing sedition charges in a federal court and needed to raise money for his case. In his appeal for funding, he included a brochure for von Braunhut's Kyoga weapon. The white supremacist explained that the manufacturer has pledged $25 to my defence fund for each one sold to Aryan Nations supporters.
Jesus, well, that's a twist.
I know.
Holy shit.
But surely the inventor of one of the nation's most celebrated children's toys couldn't be a hate-peddling racist, right? Well, the story got picked up by the media, and Butler, the racist who's raising money, soon confirmed to a paper in Spokane, Washington, that von Braunhut was an old pal and a member of the Aryan race who has supported us for quite a few years now, end quote. According
what?
To
what?
I know. This is the first people have heard about it, and then all these newspapers start digging into his background because everyone's like, what? When I was a kid, I had this guy's toys. What's going on? The Washington Post started to dig into his background and published this in 1988. Quote, he's linked to some of the most extreme racist and anti-Semitic organizations in the country. He has a reputation of being a generous contributor. But it turns out he was involved with lots of racist organizations, sometimes giving speeches at their conventions.
Really? So it wasn't even private about it?
Yeah.
No, but no one had ever spoken about it, like, sort of publicly in the media. Floyd Cochran, a recovered racist, told the LA Times in 2000 that von Braunhut was something of a misfit. He said, quote, he'd give long speeches about numerology and he'd make references to the pyramids. It just didn't play very well. So even they were like, who's this wacko?
Pyramids and numerology sounding, wasn't that sort of all wrapped up in that conspiracy theory, the triangles and stuff? What are they called?
Illuminati?
Is he Illuminati guy?
He's got some pretty, odd views.
Mate, look, we asked you here to talk about why white people are real good. Let's just drop the number stuff, okay?
Okay. I don't care if numbers are good unless they're white numbers.
And the pyramids, don't think they were white people building those. So if we could just keep that down as well, please. Let's talk about things white people built, you know?
Oh.
Like
systems to oppress everybody else.
Oh, jeez, Jess. Bloody hell. I just couldn't think, I couldn't think of a building that a white person had built. What's a famous white? Big Ben. Oh, technically, actually, that's the bell.
To make this story even more complicated, the term Aryan is used by Nazis to mean a Caucasian of non-Jewish descent. Well, it turns out von Braunhut himself was Jewish. His parents were Jewish. He was raised in a Jewish community and they are buried in a Jewish cemetery. And according to the Daily Telegraph, he added the von so his name sounded more Germanic. That's not even his real name.
Hmm.
The news of this heritage came to light in 1988, and when questioned about his background, von Braunhut refused to comment. The LA Times speculated that he was allowed to stay in Aryan circles after this because he was very wealthy.
Jeez, okay. No, we're very strict, very strict.
He's got how much money? He can stay.
Okay, well, yeah, obviously this is different.
Willing to make an exception so far.
Someone's so sad about it. I mean, it's bonkers anyone thinks one race is superior to another and all that sort of stuff.
Of course.
But when they are including you or excluding you from that and you're still supporting it, I don't really... There's something even sadder about that.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. The news of his racism did affect his bottom line for a while. Laramie Limited, who held the license to make sea monkeys at the time, dropped the toy after receiving a flurry of phone calls and complaints after this.
Oh, you don't want to need a flurry. That is,
no.
That's a lot of phone calls. A McFlurry, now we're talking.
That's a good term.
So he got dropped, but then he found a new licensee after telling them that it was a lie to tarnish his reputation. But they too dropped him in 1995 when the New York Times identified von Braunhut as a featured speaker at the July 1995 Aryan Nations Congress.
So he's like, nah, 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 nah. They were just saying that about me.
I'm not a racist.
And then I'm not. And then he continues to speak at racist events.
Yeah.
Yuck.
He was able to find a new company after that. So it's all a bit messy, very, very gross. But sorry to say, he was a massive racist, which is quite surprising for me buying the show bag in 1996.
Yeah.
And it was already known at this point.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know why, I just can't picture a racist person coming up with something so whimsical. It's like I think the two can't coexist, whimsy and racism. And I don't know why. I'm like, that this can't possibly be.
He drove a red Corvette and then moved to an estate in Maryland, a 70-acre property full of animals that he and his wife Yolanda called the Montrose Wildlife Conservation. And he was involved with sea monkeys until the end. Any decision regarding the appearance of sea monkeys had to be vetted by Harold von Braunhut, even in his 70s. He was also very protective of his creation. According to the LA Times, he once refused to do business with a company desiring to make sea monkeys refrigerator magnets after he discovered risque magnets in their catalogue.
His wife used to be in softcore porn.
I know. But he's like, you're not allowed to make my magnets.
You can't make my magnets because you also make, unrelated to mine, my potential magnets, you also make magnets that are a little bit risky. And that offends me. P.S. I'm a massive racist. Yeah.
I may be a racist, but I'm also a prude, so best of both worlds.
Oh, I just don't like anyone, is essentially what he's saying.
Well, Jess, sadly, all good things must come to an end. Even
isn't it funny even how some are sadder than others?
Well, I've got here written, even the life of a horrible racist. On November 28th, 2003, Harold von Braunhut died at his home in Maryland. He was 77. When he died, he was said to be working on a pet lobster and an instant frog.
Instant frog.
No more details on what that meant.
Instant frog.
And a pet lobster. What does that mean?
It's just a lobster in a cardboard box mailed to your house.
I can't stop thinking about his pen whip invention and how he thought it was, if you can't get a gun, he's a little whip thing. I'm just picturing his followers going to gunfights, going to a duel. One guy's got a gun.
I couldn't get a gun in time, but I've got this weird little pen whip.
So don't stand too far away from me.
Hiya!
Come here. Let me whip you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounded so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh, my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Great. Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh, my God.
He was survived by his second wife, Yolanda, and by a son and daughter. But the story doesn't quite end there. You might be wondering, what happened to the sea monkey fortune?
Of course.
Well, it was left to his wife, Yolanda, and despite sea monkey sales still being $3.4 million in 2006, things have not been smooth sailing. Her lawyer described the situation to the New York Times as, she was now isolated, cash-starved, often without electricity or running water on a palatial estate. Having retreated to a single room in the old mansion, she was prepping for her second freezing winter, barricaded by thick quilts, her bed next to a fireplace stocked with split wood.
I reckon sell the mansion. I reckon downsize. Dumbass.
This is because in 2003, Yolanda licensed out part of the labour of her husband's multi-million dollar sea monkey enterprise, mostly packaging and distribution to a large toy company called Big Time Toys. The deal she set up was Big Time Toys would supply everything like packaging, tanks, and all that sort of stuff, and that Yolanda would continue to supply the actual sea monkeys to send out to kids. You see, the exact formula her husband came up decades ago is only known by her and is locked away in a bank vault in Manhattan.
Oh, wow, that's funny.
What?
And fun. The secret herbs and spices.
To quote from the New York Times, which has an article based purely on the legalities of this case, which is very good. Quote, also in the contract was a second deal to buy the company, including the secret formula. It allowed Big Time Toys to pay a straight up $5 million fee and then $5 million more in installments. That was their deal. But then Yolanda launched legal action against Big Time Toys in 2013 when they stopped paying her, as they claimed, that already paid the required fee to own the company outright. They were like, we've given you $5 million. We own the company now. In the ensuing court documents, Big Time Toys revealed that they were no longer using Von Braun Hutt's patented sea monkeys because she wasn't giving them to them anymore. They were now using shrimp that they imported from China. That's how they kept making it. The two parties settled out of court in 2017, though the details of the agreement haven't been made public. Yolanda continues to sell sea monkeys as the original sea monkeys online. You can order them. There's an Aussie website too, including a premium super-sized 21-piece kit for the perfect office pet, as well as a T-shirt that says Sea Monkeys Lover. She's also reportedly making a documentary about sea monkeys.
Why?
So looking forward to seeing that.
Oh, there's, I mean, a lot to be told in this story. I wonder if she'll go into the racist past of her husband.
Apparently she said she didn't know.
Oh. I'm just out. I'm just off again. Why are you wearing that swastika? No reason.
I reckon you'd pick up on a vibe.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Just finally, the About Us section on the website states, Yolanda is now putting much of the proceeds from sea monkeys into a nature preserve that she and Harold created in Maryland. An ardent vegan and animal rights activist, Yolanda believes in the interconnectedness between all life forms. Yolanda is truly the guardian and mother of the sea monkeys. And that's where we'll end today's story, sea
wow.
monkeys.
It's...
An animal lover, animals rights activist, it seems like she's obviously drawn the line between sea monkeys and animals. Otherwise,
yeah.
You probably, it's not the business you'd be in, I'm guessing.
What? What do you mean? Shipping animals to children across the world?
Mm.
What? You think an animal lover wouldn't want to just shove some animals in an envelope and send them
but
off?
But I mean, maybe are they, am I being ridiculous? Are they like clearly they're not going to be, are they not feeling kind of animals?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. But I agree. It's a weird line to sort of draw.
You know, the feeling kind of animals.
Yeah. Can they feel?
Dave, that is a, I I did not expect that story to go that way.
Inventing
weapons and being a white supremacist.
Yeah. And then by buying those products back in the day, inadvertently probably supporting that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Which is so awful to think about, isn't it? Wow. It's very surprising.
What a twist.
What a twist.
Well, I think that actually brings us to everyone's favourite section of the show, the Fat Quote or Question section, where we get to thank a few of our Patreon supporters. To get involved in this, you can go to patreon.com/dogoonpod or dogoonpod.com, and there's a bunch of different levels you can get involved in. Depending on the level, you get different rewards, like bonus episodes. We do 3 bonus episodes a month. You get to vote on topics, you get to get tickets early, you get discounted tickets to live shows, all sorts of things like that. But you also, if you're on the Sydney Scheinberg level, you get to give us a fact, a quote, or a question. This section has a little jingle. I think it goes something like this.
Fact, quote, or question, ding.
Yeah, he always remembers the ding. And once you're on this level, you get to give us a fact, a quote, or a question, or a brag, which is no one's taken us up on that so far. But you also get to give
we need the brags.
You also get to give yourself a title. So firstly this week, and before, or I should say last week, there was an old reward. We used to have a golden hat. Do you guys remember the golden hat?
Oh, yeah.
Which was the old Sydney Scheinberg level, and you get to pick a topic. Well, Justin Kane had a golden hat topic, which was the New England vampire panic that we never did. And then we did it last week and we didn't shout him out. So I'm just going on the record here, writing that wrong. Thank you very much, Mr. Justin McCain. Coincidentally, this first fact, quote, or question comes from Mr. Justin McCain, who's given himself the title of official mailman of the show, and he's offered us a quote. And the quote is this. In honour of the upcoming June movie, here's the most favourite quote, I guess my most favourite quote from the whole series. And it goes like this. I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where the fear has gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain. You guys know what June is? I've heard people talk about June. I don't know what it is though.
Yeah, it's like an epic sci-fi.
But yeah, I don't know much about it.
I tried to watch the original film once and it was the worst movie I've ever seen.
Wow.
Even worse than some of the Brendan Fraser movies we've watched.
Yeah, honestly, I think I put this Dune movie, I'm not saying I think the new one's expected to be fantastic. It's got a great cast, but it's the original one, including the starring Sting in one of his acting roles.
Ooh.
Fantastic. Oh, I think I've seen a photo of Sting in a sci-fi role. It's probably that one.
Yeah. I think it's great David Lynch directed it too, very early on. But yeah, it was not for me, but maybe I'll see the new one and really enjoy it.
Thank you so much for that quote, Justin McCann. I think that was a good quote. This next one comes from Craig Mowat, or Mowat, whose title is Trivia Management Technician. That might come in handy.
That's right. You got to keep those facts greased.
And Craig is asking us a question. Here it is. Do any of you have a cartoon character you particularly identify with? He's answered his question, which I always ask people to do, but I'll ask you guys first. I don't know if I do have one necessarily.
It's always hard off the top of your head, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cartoon character.
Cartoon characters. Right.
Animations.
Tom and Jerry.
Okay, you know? Drawn pictures.
Yes.
Feel like
okay, great, yes.
On TV.
Mm-hmm.
You reckon Tom or Jerry though, Dave?
No, I feel like I'm Tom. I'm constantly being tormented by a little mouse.
Am I the mouse?
Yes.
I would say Barney Gumble.
I'm already dead.
It didn't die.
That is hard, yeah.
Captain Planet, obviously.
Of course, you love to recycle.
Yeah, exactly. I love to dye my hair green.
Love it.
Matt's got a mullet like Captain Planet, actually, so.
Loot and Plunder, another great character from that show.
Animated. I'm trying to think of any.
Lisa Simpson, you know, real whiny. That's me. But also beautiful heart and plays the sax like nothing else. No, I'm not a lot like her, actually.
Yeah, but when you play the sax.
Dragon Ball Z, obviously always going Super Saiyan.
Pokemon, because I am a pocket monster.
Oh, yeah.
To live in a
Widget,
tiny ball.
The world watcher. I like to watch the world and I can shapeshift.
I think the thing is we like cartoons, but I don't know if I see myself as a cartoon.
Yeah.
Nah.
I'm trying to think of like Disney, but all of those Disney characters.
Could we hear the answer as a bit of inspiration to see if we're on the right track?
Yeah.
Here?
Well, I just had a thought, maybe Simba when he's an angsty teen. That's me.
Yes. Okay, you're Simba and Dave and I are Timon and Pumbaa.
Yeah, that's right. You're helping me on my life.
Realistically, and I don't love this, but I'm Pumbaa. And Dave is Timon.
Well, I smell worse though.
That's true. That's actually true. Yeah. All right, I'm Timon.
Craig's answer
I'm
is
sassy.
He identifies with Fry from Futurama. Great character.
Oh, yeah.
Said, yep. I might be out of my depth at times, but I always try and do the right thing. Good answer there.
That's a great answer.
Yeah, I love
it. I don't know if that's true of Fry all the time.
No.
But that's a nice thing to see in yourself. That's good.
Yes. Thank you very much, Craig. Next one comes from Nathan Swap, giving himself the title of Grand Admiral of the New Mexican Navy. Bloody hell.
Okay. Grand Admiral.
I'd like to apply for the job of Rear Admiral.
Nathan's offered us a fact here, which is US states differ from Australian states by having their own independent militaries called both the National Guard and the State Guard. This includes air forces and navies, and that means there's nothing stopping New Mexico from building battleships besides budget and being landlocked.
But nothing else stopping them.
That's it.
Wow. And Nathan's taking charge as well. I guess he's just going to get the budget going first. But that's an interesting fact. Did not know that.
No.
Of it.
I don't think I ever really understood what the, like, you hear about, like, the National Guard and stuff. Didn't know what that was. There you go.
Yeah, neither. And the final one this week comes from Kate Rue. I think this is a first-time fact quota question from Kate Rue, who's given herself the title of Meat Coach, M-E-A-T. So I don't know if she's coaching the meat or she's coaching you on how to cook and eat meat. I'm not sure, but whatever it is, an important role, Kate Rue. Thank you so much. And often I've noticed that often when the title's a bit confusing, the fact quota question will shed a bit of light. So
we'll clear it up,
how this goes. Kate Rue asks, what is the pettiest reason you've ever dumped someone or been dumped? He said, I'll go first. I didn't like the way he walked.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty petty, Kate Rue.
There's
no
petty
light shed on the meat coach thing. Eddie, I don't know if I don't think I've ever been in any petty breakups.
No.
Oh, I mean, not that I know of. They've always given me strong reasons.
Yeah. But
who knows what?
Secretly, the real reason was quite petty.
But yeah. every time Matt's gone, makes sense. I get it.
Yeah. When really they're going, geez, don't like the way he walks.
God, he walks like an idiot.
I do have a pretty goofy walk too.
I do have a strange walk, so maybe that's...
You, Dave.
Yeah.
I will kill anyone who criticises your walk.
Anyone who dumps me for my walk.
I'll kill them.
Thank you.
Do we have... Do you guys have an answer? Because I really don't think I have one, I'm afraid.
I don't really know.
Any you've heard of from friends or anything?
Ooh, again, on the spot is hard, isn't it? I was just going to say because I've been quite lucky in that I haven't dated heaps.
You are lucky.
And that I've nailed it every time.
It being your boyfriend.
Yeah, I've just met real good people. I can't think of petty ones from Friends either. Oh, this is so disappointing, Kate.
Sorry,
it's so funny.
Sorry, Kate Rue. You got a fantastic man, by the way. Thank you so much for your question. I hope you found a partner who walks just the way you want them to.
Yeah.
Hope they've walked a path right into your heart. We also like to thank a few Patreon supporters, and Jess normally comes up with a little game based on the topic.
Yeah. I was thinking either like what they've in like an invention of theirs or what they've sent in the post.
Great. What about a postable invention?
There you go. A postable invention.
Postable invention.
Or a just add water invention.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Love that. All right. If I can kick us off, I'd love to thank from Chemnitz in Deutschland, Dominic Linda.
Oh.
What do you got, Dave? Go.
What about some sort of small jug? You just add water and then you've got water and you can pour it from the jug.
Oh, that's clever. A small. Your invention is taking an existing invention, a jug,
yep,
and making it smaller.
Yes, but adding water.
Yes. When you add water, does the jug grow?
No.
Or is it? It's literally just a small jug.
It's a small jug.
I don't know that you've understood the mission.
Right off the top. All right, Jess. I think Dominic would be stoked with that. Jess.
Yeah, he's nailed it.
You got the next one, though.
But you're telling me that is not the kind of thing that Braunhut would try and market to people. And people go,
yeah.
Actually.
Oh, what's happened here is Jess has just put a lot of pressure on herself for this next one. Okay.
Which I'll nail. Thank you.
Jess, I'd love to thank from Hook in, I think, Hampshire, Great Britain, Kieran Marshall.
Grow your own letterbox. Just add water. So what you do is they send you a very small letterbox. It's about 6 centimeters.
You haven't thought this through, Jess. How do they get it delivered if they need a letterbox?
It gets taken to the post office. They have to go pick it up.
Okay.
They have to go sign for it. But that's why they have to order this product for future packages. Right, so you order it, you place it in the position you want your letterbox to be, and then you water it, and in just 3 short years,
whoa,
that letterbox will grow to a full-size letterbox that can accept letters and packages up to A5.
Wow, whoa. A5.
Pretty
good.
That's pretty good size.
And can I just ask, Jess, how are you watering this every day? Do you need some sort of small jug, perhaps? A little bit more.
Fuck!
A little bit more useful than you thought, huh?
Got me. Damn it!
And finally, for me, I'd love to thank from Glasgow in Great Britain. I'm going to say Scotland, probably to be more precise. Matt Stockham.
Matt Stockham, you do one, Matt.
All right. He's got a little game. You just add water. It comes in. It's like the size of a stamp. You add water and then it grows to be Rock'em Stock'em Robots. And it's just like Matt Stockham.
Yes.
Like they look like little Matt Stockhams, but they punch each other. So
yes.
It's pretty, you know, and it's a real niche interest. But anyone who wants to fight like Matt Stockham or see Matt Stockham get punched, they will love this.
Wow. That is awesome.
That's actually awesome.
That is actually awesome.
Yeah, I know.
Dave, do you want to thank some people?
I'd love to thank some people now. I would love to thank from St. Charles in, what's this, Missouri? MO, what are we talking about here?
MO. You keep talking, I'll look it up.
Sarah.
I'm going to say Montana. Just a guess.
Sarah or Sarah Rayfield. Sarah, what about grow your own sublease? So it comes as a doll's house, but if you add water.
The fuck is wrong with you?
No.
It is Missouri, Dave.
Thank you so much, Missouri. Obviously, I'll be dead in the cold, cold ground before I recognise Missouri, but grow your own sublease. So you live in an apartment, you get a small doll's house delivered to you, but you add water every day for 3 months, and by the end of those 3 months, you'll have an entire giant life-size doll's house, to be honest, just a house, inside your own house that you can now sublease and now you can make money whilst living in your own house.
So I've got a house inside my house.
Yes, but people live in that house.
So how do I get around my house?
Well, obviously there's sections.
Sure. So where do I set up the dollhouse? Like I would, for example, I'd put it in my living room.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously your house remains untouched.
How?
Because you're outside the doll's house. The doll's house is its own little thing.
So it's like a granny flat sort of thing.
Yeah, so grow your own granny flat inside your house that you can then lease out and then make a profit.
But it is inside your house.
But it is inside my house.
Yeah. So you're losing a room.
Well, I mean, you're losing a room, but you're gaining a tenant.
Sure.
So why not just sublet that room?
What?
How much does this dollhouse cost?
$16.99. It's very affordable.
$16.99 for essentially a tiny house investment property.
Yes, exactly. It's very, very good. All you have to do is
add
water.
Is there any way you could do it in the backyard or on a paddock or something like that where there's a bit more space?
Well, sadly, it's ironic. It can't be anywhere. You add water, but it can't be anywhere that is affected by rain.
Okay. Because it'll keep growing, I guess.
Yeah. Obviously, it'll keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Oh, no. Yeah, okay.
So it needs to be indoors.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That feels like you might be onto something kind of magical, but your price point is far too low.
Oh.
For what is essentially a house. You're selling a house for $16.99, was it?
Hey, people, not profit. That's what I say.
Okay. Yeah, and I respect the hell out of that. Okay.
So thank you to Sarah Rayfield. Sarah Rayfield. Good luck with your new tenants. Hopefully they're not a nightmare.
Because they are living inside your house.
Yes, they are living inside your house. But not your house. They've got their own house. That's not...
I understand. But their house is inside your house.
Technically. You want to get technical?
I definitely do, yes.
I would like to thank now from Wingfield in Great Britain, Jack Lesueur.
Oh, my God.
Or Jack Lesueur. It's a very, very nice name, Jack.
Beautiful name, beautiful product. And it is a Just Add Water sponge. Arrives real tiny, really hard.
Yes.
Add water, big.
A big sponge.
It's a big sponge. You can use it to wash a car.
I've often needed a big sponge to wash the car.
Like a ShamWow sort of thing.
No.
Okay.
And we went to court.
That's right. I remember
to
that.
Clear that up. And I'm getting pretty sick of that.
Sorry.
That kind of comparison, actually.
Sorry. Your product's called ShamWheel, and I don't know why people confuse the two.
Ours is called ShamWoohoo, and it's a very small, rock-hard sponge.
Yeah.
And you add it to water. It absorbs the water because it's a fucking sponge.
Oh. So you add it to water rather than the water to it.
You can do either.
That's versatile.
Yeah.
And then it
becomes a big sponge and you can wash shit with it. Or befriend it.
Can you wash
whatever
your butts?
You want to do. You can wash your butts with it if you want. Why do you have so many butts?
Oh, I don't know how many you have. I got a couple.
Can you wash your butts?
I can't. Do you not call each individual cheek a butt?
No.
Huh. Culture. I love how culturally different we are from each side of Melbourne.
Well, it's just that... My particular butts went through federation a little while ago, so they consider themselves one butt now. Two states of one butt.
Two states with the Capital Territory in the middle. Honestly.
Take that, Canberra. You're a butthole. What has happened to us?
All right, that was Jack Lesueur. Thank you so much, Jack. And finally for me, I would like to thank from Union in Ohio, God's country, it is David Nelson. Thank you, David.
David Nelson. Well, what does this term mean, the full Nelson? What does that mean? Is that anything?
I don't think it's good.
A half Nelson, isn't that some sort of headlock type move?
That's a wrestling move, is it?
Yeah. Give him a half Nelson. What is a full Nelson? Maybe we're about to find out.
Yeah, it's a wrestling hold gained from behind an opponent by thrusting the arms under the opponent's arms and clasping the hands behind the opponent's head. Oh, my brother used to do that to me, always.
And that's the full Nelson or a half Nelson?
That says full Nelson.
Oh, right, so half Nelson is half of that, I imagine.
There was a movie called Half Nelson in 2006 with ex-topic Ryan Gosling.
Oh, yeah, I remember that at the time, Dusha mentioning that one. But what do we think, David Nelson, what's he adding water to?
A new product. It's called the Double Nelson. It's two full Nelsons.
Mm. It's somebody holding you from the back and a second person holding you from the front.
Yes. So it's a little necklace when you get it. You put it around your neck, then you add water. Two fully grown wrestlers taking you from both angles.
Is this sold in a sex shop?
Yes.
Well, it can be bought from multiple different locations, but okay. Normally it's just mailed to you.
Doesn't have to be sexual. That's really up to a conversation you have with the two fully grown wrestlers and what you all consent to.
But
most of the time it is full penetration, yeah.
full.
Full.
Emphasis on full. So, David Nelson, thank you so much for your support.
Thank you so much.
Ohio, what a great place.
Finally, I would love to thank some people, if I may.
Yes, please.
I would love to thank from, what's PR in the US?
Let me check that out. Because there's only Pittsburgh. I'm guessing it's a territory.
Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I think it is Puerto Rico.
Awesome. From Puerto Rico, would love to thank Miguel Acosta.
Miguel, thank you so much for your support.
Thank you, Miguel.
Puerto Rico, a free associated state of the US.
All right, so what's Miguel's just add water invention?
What about grow your own dentures?
Oh, that's good. Does saliva count as adding water? Like just by putting them in your mouth, do they grow automatically?
But they start really, really, really small. So you got to be careful not to swallow them at first.
And so what's the point of having them so small? Just to cut back on shipping costs?
Well, if you grow them in your own mouth, then they can also like adapt to your face and grow around your gums. You will have to, of course, surgically remove your teeth first, get a blank canvas.
Yeah.
I hate this.
Would they continue to grow, though, because of the saliva? Or do they have like an upper limit?
Unfortunately, they will continue to grow.
So you'll just have big old horse teeth.
There will be a few days, though, where you look fantastic. And I suggest...
Only a few days. And you've already removed your teeth.
I suggest taking some profile pictures during that period.
Getting married in just those few days.
Eventually you'll be in the big book of British smiles.
on you, Miguel.
Thank you for that dentistry masterpiece, Miguel. I'd also love to thank from... Manila?
The Philippines?
Are we talking? Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, cool.
How awesome.
We're going all over the map today. I'd love to thank Nathan Rink.
Oh, Rinky Dink. Obviously, the first thing you'd think of was some sort of a ice rink that you just add water to, but I don't know if that makes any sense.
Well, honestly, it would get bigger.
Yeah?
Would it get bigger or would it get thicker?
Every ice rink's got to start somewhere. You start with a small block of ice.
Yeah.
From a tray, and then you just add water slowly until you've got an ice rink.
Is that how you think ice rinks are made?
Yeah. Well, it is in this case.
Okay.
And we're pouring it from a small jug.
Jeez, that jug's come in handy.
Yeah, I'm really, really having to eat my words here because that jug has been handy for just about all of these.
Coming around to the jug.
So are we going with an ice rink?
Ice rink.
For Nathan?
Yes, but it's not just an ice rink. It's got two adult ice hockey teams as well. So you add the water and you've got two fully grown professional ice hockey teams.
And you get that all in the one transaction?
In the one transaction and only the one amount of water. One small jug of water is all you need.
It feels like that would be where... like a big business who doesn't care about its customers, so not you, Matt, would be like, you can have like half a team.
Yeah.
But if you want them to have anybody to play against, you're going to need to pay extra for the other team. You just give them both teams. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That is beautiful. How long does it take to grow the teams?
It's instant life.
Get out.
Yeah.
Wow. And then they just play hockey.
Uh-huh.
And you just get to watch hockey.
Yeah, yeah. You got your own stand there.
Are there hot dogs?
There's hot dogs, yeah. There's a hot dog guy in there as well.
Wow.
Just have water. You got hot dogs.
Is Gordon Bombay there?
Gordon Bombay's there. He's one of the coaches or managers. Wow. I don't know what they call him in hockey. But he's doing that because of, yeah, because a judge said, you got to do community service. We're going to want you to work with this professional hockey team.
Yeah, that makes sense that happens in court cases.
Yeah, definitely.
You got to work with some kids. That's how it happens.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's very impressive, Nathan. Congratulations on that invention. I'm sure you are a bajillionaire, I think is the only really appropriate term. And finally, I would love to thank from location unknown, but presumably somewhere incredibly interesting and probably also a mole person.
Deep within the fortress.
Ethan Goodwin. Goodwin.
Ethan. Dave.
Ethan Goodwin.
What's this one?
What about...
Come on, Dave.
Just add water. It comes as a Hot Wheels car, very small. You're like, what? How did I pay $500,000 for this small Hot Wheel car? But just add water and that car will grow to be twice the size.
So you're selling a house for $16.99 and now you're selling a still very small toy car for $500,000.
It's all about scalability, Jess.
What does that mean?
You add water. You think, oh, my God, this car's so small, I'll never be able to get in it. It doubles in size.
Just once. It doubles once.
Yeah, it doubles. That's amazing. Like, that's science fiction becoming science fact.
You'll never get in that car.
Yeah, but you just watch the car double in size.
And wasted $500,000, but bought a house for under $17.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts in a car. Can you imagine you've got to double the carburetor and the...
Dave, you haven't talked about the other sachet, though. There's another sachet in there. And if you eat that sachet, you shrink down to the size that can fit in that double-size matchbox
now
car.
I'm listening. Well, I thought you were going to say it's for mating and you can fuck the car.
Why do you want to shrink down to its size for, Jess?
Whoa.
Is that worth $500,000?
Yes.
Thank you.
God, you should have led with that, though. I was so mad at you. Our friendship, Dave, our friendship was on thin ice just then because the rink has only just been poured.
All right, so that brings us to our last thing we like to do is thank a few of our long-term supporters as we welcome them into the Triptych Club. There's quite a few in today, Dave. Are you ready? You got the pipes warmed up?
No.
Well, can you get them warmed up while I explain a little further? So anyone who's been on the shout-out level supporting this show for 3 straight years, you get inducted in the Triptych Club. I'm standing at the door. I've got the clipboard. I've got your name written down. I'm going to read it out. I'll lift up the velvet rope, welcome you in, and to really make you feel at home, Dave will hype you up with some sort of, I think they're puns from the pun master. He'll say something about your name, and then
it's kind of like the top of the show when Matt the Pun King did this exact thing about the people that suggested the topic.
And then I don't know what a pun is. And then Jess gives Dave a little compliment as well, just to keep him feeling fresh, because it takes a lot out of you to hype people up. So every hype man needs a hype woman, and or something like that. And then Jess also is behind the bar. You got some food and drinks usually, Jess. What do you got today?
Jelly.
Oh, yes. Jelly shots.
But I've put sea monkeys in it.
They are not vegetarian.
And Dave,
don't eat it.
You've normally booked a band as well?
Yes. Tonight on stage we've got Hey Hey, We're the Sea Monkeys.
Wow. Like a cover band who changes all their songs to like undersea related.
Yeah, and they dress up like those horrific creatures from the 90s show, Sea Monkeys.
I'm a believer who's under the sea. Everything is just, they'd say, under the sea afterwards.
Then I saw her sea monkey face.
They're very good.
All right, so, Dave, if you're ready, let me start reading out some of these names.
Come on, Davey boy.
All right, here we go.
From the home of Rambo in Goulburn, New South Wales, it's Peter Grant.
Oh, let me grant you entry to this club.
From yes. Toronto in Canada, it's Cicely Thomas.
Cicely, come on down.
Yes, very good. Shut up, Matt. Thank Keep you. Going.
From Essendon in Victoria, Australia, it's Claire Aldridge.
Oh, I've been waiting all day, Aldridge, for this. All day.
Yeah. Good to see you, Claire.
Great to see you, Claire.
To see you there.
Less idea of what the fun
yes.
is.
Yes, that's great.
Every
that's
week. from Lang Warren in Victoria, Australia, it's Alana Cizio.
Oh, been a lot of Cizio about your appearance tonight. Sizzle.
Yes, he's back.
From yes. Overton in North Lancashire in Great Britain, it's Ross Garrard.
Oh, I'm Garrard right now.
Yes! We've done it!
From Stony Batter in Dublin, Ireland, it's Emma Coogan.
Oh, this night just gets stony better and better.
Yes.
From Leeds in the UK, it's Jimothy Miller.
Oh, Jim Drew.
From Sheffield in Great Britain, it's Hannah McAfee.
Oh, you make me Mick happy.
Yes, Hannah.
From Cranbourne West in Victoria, Australia, it's Ashley Bujor Latchford.
Ooh, I'm going to latch onto that fantastic name.
Yes, Dave.
Thank you.
From Alexandria in New South Wales, Australia, it's Amelia Rice.
Ooh, Rice to see you. To see you, Rice.
From Carrick-on-Suir in Tipperary in Ireland, it's Ian Meagher, or Ian Maher, I reckon.
Ian Maher. Which one are we going with? Maher? Come, jump in my Maher. So, bit of a Ted Mulry gang reference there.
Come as you Maher?
Oh, yes, thank you.
From
Ooh, jump see, in my ma.
Didn't see you from a ma.
Yes, okay.
From
now we're getting it.
Mount St. Thomas in New South Wales, Australia, it's Maddie Selvey.
Ooh, we're going to salvage this night with your
yes,
presence.
Yes, because Maddie's here now.
And finally, from Regina in Canada, maybe even from Saskatchewan, I hope, it's Clayton Bender.
Oh, we are going to go on a big night with you, Clayton. Yes.
Yes. Dave. Don't chant your own name. Just let me do it. It seems weird.
But people at home don't know it's me. They think that the masses are chanting it.
Oh, that's true.
Dave.
Woo!
I mean, that was some of your finest work there. Well done.
Yeah, that was truly remarkable stuff.
That was.
Did you black out? Are you all right?
That hurt.
Yeah.
So thank you so much to Peter Cicely. Cicely? Why am I not saying that name right? Cecily. Claire.
What about, I should have said, let's get Cicely.
Yeah.
Alana, Ross, Emma, Jimothy, Hannah, Amelia, Ian, Maddie and Clayton. Welcome to the club.
And Ashley.
Did I miss Ashley? Sorry, Ashley.
I think that brings us to the end of the show, does it not?
It bloody does, you little ripper.
Hey, thank you so much. I love that you keep hyping me up even in the credits. This is great.
Can't help it. Now I'm hyped myself.
If you want to be one of these legends and get access to all the stuff like the bonus episodes that we mentioned, you can go to dogoonpod.com or patreon.com/dogoonpod right now. We'd appreciate that. You'd be the bloody best. But even if you just want a suggested episode or find where to follow us on social media, you can go to that same website, dogoonpod.com, where we've also got a bit of merchandise and yeah, just check it out. All sorts of little stuff. Links to our web series. You know, we're worldwide on the web. finally, you can email us, dogoonpod@gmail.com. But until next week, I guess I'll say thank you so much for listening. And until then, it's goodbye.
Laters.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.